The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network. The Cold Slither, you'll be joining us
soon. Good evening, Rick. Would you believe it's Dr. Doom?
What's on your evil mind?
Oh, you insulting tongue, it mocked my words well.
How about this rumor that you are really hired, Mr. Stark?
And welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles.
Yeah, we're back!
I'm your host, Tim D.O. Double G.
Yeah!
And tonight I'm joined by @agent_70 on Twitter.
What's up, everybody? We celebrate like we hit that Powerball money.
Only we did. And we also have @RoddyCat on Twitter.
There he goes.
Well, hello, everybody. If you say he's talking about the list, we're going to have to fight because I just made this motherfucker up last night.
Ha ha!
And we also have @PCN_Dirt on Twitter.
I probably shouldn't say anything. It's safer not speaking.
Make sure to go to our website, theclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and Comic Book Reviews. Follow the Twitter account, @CBCron. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Add us to your circles on Google+. Go to google.com/+ theclicknation. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and youtube.com/theclicknation. We are a part of the Cold Slither Podcast Network. Make sure to check out their website, cspn.us. And make sure to go to their Redbubble website, not on this spreadsheet. The link to that is redbubble.com/people/cspn/shop. And if you want to subscribe to just the Comic Book Chronicles feed, you can go to our nice bit.ly link. bit.ly/CBChronPod. Shout out to RoddyCat for coming up with that.
Yep.
And make sure to go to PCN Dirt's website, popculturenetwork.com, where you can find previous episodes of Comic Book Chronicles. Well, actually, no, you can't. You can find...
Yeah, you can. I post them up there.
Oh, you do?
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. So, we've been gone for 2 weeks as we reveled in our holidays and New Year's.
Merry New Year!
And all that jazz. So we're back, and it just so happens to coincide with us coming back to the first episode of the New Year, and it also being our 150th episode. Yeah. So with that, we're going to go over the news from the past 2 weeks, catch up with a little bit of that. And in lieu of doing our usual comic book reviews for the week or even the last 2 weeks, we're going to do our 2015 year-end show where we do our best and worst lists of the past year. And next week we'll get you all caught back up with our regular scheduled programming, and we'll do some reviews from the past couple of weeks.
Get it? Got it. Good.
Yeah. So Star Wars The Force Awakens is breaking all kinds of records and passing Avatar, its highest grossing movie ever.
Thank goodness.
It breaks $1 billion worldwide. Bizarro is going to battle Kara Danvers on Supergirl, which started back this week. Not with that episode, of course, but just Supergirl coming back from its break. An animated Spider-Man film is slated for Christmas of 2018. I wonder if that's the Spider-Man animated movie that Sony said they were postponing. The X-Force movie lineup was possibly revealed in some promotional art, and the characters, at least on the cover art, were Cable, Cannonball, Domino, Warpath, and a blonde or white-haired girl with a hood on, who I assume was just Boomer, a.k.a. Boom Boom. So we also got some first images of Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange in Entertainment Weekly. Looked kind of nice.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome. So that's coming along nicely. And just off, well, actually not off topic, but semi on topic, a coworker today was telling me how I guess Guardians of the Galaxy 2 filming has started in Atlanta. So we know Marvel likes to film a lot of their movies there now. And there's going to be a Voltron reboot.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about it. It's going to be on Netflix, I believe. And there's something about Vincent Del Toro's Trollhunters also. But the big news is we care about Voltron coming back.
Yeah.
Cautious optimism. That's what I got.
Cautious optimism. Nothing wrong with that. So that's all. Let's see. Is that cinematic news for the past couple weeks?
Sure.
And let's see. First ad for tonight will be from Skullcandy, which makes the best headphones, earbuds, and gaming headsets all with lifetime warranties. Skullcandy produces many types of audio accessories, including headphones, sports earbuds, Xbox gaming headsets, PlayStation gaming headsets, DJ headphones, iPod headphones, and MP3 headphones. And now for listeners of Comic Book Chronicles, Skullcandy offers free standard shipping on your order. To help keep our podcast free, order from Skullcandy by going to cspn.us. That's cspn.us, then clicking on the Keep Our Podcast Free link, click on the Skullcandy banner, and then shop for high-quality audio accessories with free standard shipping. Skullcandy audio through cspn.us. Do it today. And let's see. Let's get to some of the actual comic book news from the past weeks. So there's going to be a Mission Impossible Rogue Nation comic. Even I wasn't aware of this. I assume it's going to be from, like, IDW or something, maybe?
No, it's basically, I think it's going to be in the Blu-ray, or it's coming along at the same time as the Blu-ray. Actually, I had just bought Rogue Nation, so I didn't check.
Cool. I did see Rogue Nation in theaters. It's good. Last couple of their movies have been fun.
Yeah.
Kind of reinvented themselves, you know?
Yeah. See, Tom Cruise running his butt off for 2 hours. For no reason. Well, for reasons.
Well, they also needed a little bit of Simon Pegg comic relief, you know?
Sure.
Sure, sure. Marvel's going to launch retailer parties for the Avengers standoff event later this year.
So, Derek, you doing that for your shop?
What is it? The launch party?
Yeah.
Yes, but no. I mean,
yes, but no.
You sign up and you get the variants, but I don't know anybody that opens like at midnight and bakes a cake or does any of that stupid stuff they tell you that you're supposed to. You just say, "Yeah, send me the variants," and then that's it.
Seemed like the buried entry seemed kind of weird, but yeah.
And another, I guess, retailer thing would be build your Steve Rogers Captain America promotion from Marvel at your local comic shop.
Those must be doing good, because this is like, what, the third, fourth one?
I think there have been a few, right? I think they have a contract with somebody that they have to fulfill this contract, because I don't know any store that follows up on those, that gets all of them or gives them out as sets.
Right.
They just kind of randomly get this stuff and throw it in the side, and between the three stores here in town, I've gotten like an Iron Man body and three left legs, and like that's it.
Yeah, I think I got the head and something, one of those, something else or something.
It's like playing the lottery.
Well, they do them like those
Powerball money.
They do them like those stupid variants, so you can't just say you're getting those bundles unless you pay for them. In order to get the free bundles, you have to order 125% your numbers on a book from 4 months ago, and all that rigmarole.
Right.
And I just use the term rigmarole. I just like to point that out.
Congrats.
So at the end of the year, I guess Marvel's going to top up retailer orders of Division number 3 and Red Wolf number 2. What does that mean? Top up.
Say that again.
Marvel to top up retailer orders of Division number 3 and Red Wolf number 2.
I think it's the same thing that they did with one of the other books recently, where if you order, say you order 20 copies of number 1, a Vision, then number 3, you're down to ordering like 12, they send you an extra 8 at no charge, so it puts you back at your levels for number 1.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, Vision number 3, look forward to it next week. Pretty good.
It may even make some of our lists later on in the show. That's a plug.
Tease.
That's right. Stay tuned.
Let's see. Gwenpool joins the Marvel Universe in a new ongoing series.
Oi. Oi.
Thanks, Howard the Duck.
A new Independence Day comic book series is launching in March from Titan Comics.
So will they actually show in these pages the death of Will Smith's character?
They should. That should be the stuff they do.
Yeah, right?
Spoiler.
Know, right? Oh, stop. It's in the news.
They killed him off panel in a before this second movie comes out story.
Well, they said, because it's supposed to bridge the gap between the last one and this one, so maybe.
Okay.
Oh, wait, I did not know about this next story. Please read this. Go ahead.
Frank Miller is planning Sin City, the home front with Nazis in New York City. That's a long title.
Here we go. Oh, my God.
I think it's just Sin City, the home front, I think. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That would be an incredible title.
You put the Master Race in.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Oh,
goodness gracious.
So he's planning a new Sin City that would be called the Home Front, set during World War II. It will be an American Secret Service agent and French resistance leader up against the Nazi movement in New York City.
All right.
Okay. Speaking of, have you, on a side note, have you all seen where I think Howard Stern's given away copies of, or I think may have given away copies of Master Race?
Yeah. The contest was to get every variant cover.
Okay.
And I forgot to enter myself. Oh, well.
No thanks.
Saga, Ms. Marvel, and more in 2016, and a word I won't be able to pronounce.
Wait, what? Where are we?
Two down.
Angoulême Awards nominations.
Oh, wow.
And this is the award where it was all dudes.
Oh, is this French?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I took French in high school.
I did too.
Really it's either Angoulême or Angoulême, but I'm not sure if the G rolls like that.
Angoulême.
To Spanish. Yeah. Angoulême.
I was going to bring up an old perfume that sounded similar to that, but I don't think anybody would get the reference outside
of Angoulême.
I guess, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you guys, man. We're digging deep into the archives.
Yeah,
that's funny.
DC Comics fights for the Shield and the Bat trademarks.
So there's been a couple. Yeah, there's been a couple of these lately. They've been fighting trademark battles with random people with stuff.
Some of them make sense that they would fight them. Like, I can obviously see. The only one I would question is
I think the one on this
South Coast Deli.
Yeah, I think the one on this list might be, because I think I had one on the last show's notes that had a little bit more validity to it. So.
But there's like some donut shop that sells comics, and they've got a woman in a Wonder Woman outfit and a guy in a Superman outfit, and it's like, yeah, that's I don't think you can do that.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, that's kind of a cool idea, though, a donut shop that sells comics.
It kind of makes it sticky on your comics, though.
True enough.
Were y'all talking about that shop in Philadelphia or whatever?
No. This is someplace else. Okay. I would like to go see that shop, though. Amalgam, yeah.
Wait, there's a shop in Philadelphia that...
Yeah, this woman opened a shop just recently. I think she did a Kickstarter or something on it, and it recently opened up, so...
And what differentiates it from the everyday comic book shop?
It's owned by a black woman, and I think there was something else to it, but that was.
Is it like a combination coffee shop?
Yeah, it's coffee and a comic shop.
Okay.
I see some other. I'm sitting here like clicking the links on a previous article, and then by myself clicking other links on the website, and now I see other news. I'll talk about to see if you actually bring it up or not later on. For now, Dark Horse Comics sets the date for World of Warcraft Chronicle Volume 1, and that date is not listed on here. Oh, March 15th. So there you go.
I can't lie. When you guys saw when I saw the World of Warcraft trailer during Star Wars, I kind of groaned. I was like,
It actually didn't look that bad, yeah.
Come on, the scene stealer was that Disney Zootopia movie.
Oh, totally.
That was crazy. That totally got the theater going.
I got that sloth gif.
Yep.
All right, the Mad Magazine, they're doing a blank cover, which you can see here, which shows the logo, and it has their URL down at the bottom. They are also offering a blank variant.
Right.
And there's a blank variant of their blank cover, and if you want to look at the blank variant, it's shown here. The blank variant is a blank cover with their logo and the URL down at the bottom.
Oh, so bad.
The blank variant is exactly the same as their normal blank cover.
Good job, Matt.
Yeah, I got to give credit on that one.
Yeah. Good job. Yeah.
Good job. Have to order one of each.
I laughed when I saw that. I was like, all right, good job. Good hustle.
Good job. Good effort. Let's see. Right. Valiant Comics released a bunch of teases at the end of 2015 for some projects and story arcs to come in 2016. You can go to theclicknation.com and see that list. Heavy Metal magazine brings Pepe Moreno's Gene Khan to English for the first time.
Okay.
So DC's coming out with adult coloring book variants, which I got a copy of the Green Lantern one I need to play around with.
Nice.
Or Green Arrow. Wait, I forget which one. Green Arrow or Green Lantern?
Well, because they're not colored, you're not talking.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember who was on, whose image was on. I think, I can't remember which one it was. It was one of the greens.
I was going to say, I did one of these. Oh, here it is. Let me see if I can pull up the share here, screen share.
You did it digitally?
I did it digitally, yes.
Okay.
And, of course, my screen share is freaking out right now. Typical. Here we go. That's the Action Comics 48.
Wow!
I'm pretty sure I nailed it on that one. I think
absolutely.
That's the Scott Collins line art there that I digitally colored in. That I think just really speaks to me of Superman in Action Comics.
Most impressive.
Nice. Very nice.
Cool. And finally, for comic news, I guess with the New Year holiday falling closely around New Comic Day, there were some shipping errors on Marvel's side, and some books that were supposed to come out this week were released early, and stores had to hold them until Marvel announced via Twitter that, hey, the stores can sell the books on New Year's Day anyway. Well, your store happened to be open that day.
It was more along the lines of people were selling them anyway, so Marvel said, hey, this is our idea. Go ahead and sell them.
Yeah.
And the books this week, Spider-Gwen, Amazing Spider-Man 1.2, and Darth Vader 15, if you get any of those and you go to your local shop, you can't find copies of it, it's because the full shipment didn't come in to the stores, but they went ahead and shipped out what they had early on accident, so those went on sale this week, but they were allocated. Mm. So if your store ordered 25 copies, maybe they got 3 or 4. The rest will come next week. So if you missed out this week, if you're like, oh, I went to my store and I didn't see Darth Vader, I missed it, just wait till next week because that's when all the copies will actually show up.
And also makes it another Star Wars heavy-ish week.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Which, Vader down, yeah.
Yeah.
Vader's down. Any variant news you want to go over, Roddy?
I don't remember. But the Hulk Man thing one was something, all right, and that the Doctor Strange one, but yeah, we can get past that. You can check that out in the show notes.
Okay, and let's see. Do one more ad-free for tonight. This one's going to be from Amazon. Visit CSPN.us, then click the Keep Our Podcast Free link at the top of the page. From there, scroll down and click on the Amazon link to shop. Purchase items from Amazon as you normally would, whether it's books, music, electronics, jewelry, apparel, etc. For every purchase made on Amazon through our link, Amazon sends to CSPN a payment that helps keep the Chronicles Podcast free for our listeners at no extra cost to you. Amazon through CSPN.us. Do it today.
Yeah.
So, like I said, we're going to push the reviews back to next week, and now we get into the 2015 year-end awards.
Yeah. Are there awards? Are there actually awards?
No, but that's the best word I can come up with when I started speaking.
They're virtual awards. How about that?
I thought maybe it was a best of list.
Yeah, I was going to say it's more of a best of list. You are correct, sir.
And I just tweeted out the link. Oops, well, wait a minute. Let me back that one out.
Yeah, I see people suddenly popping up in the...
I see strangers.
Strangers! Stranger danger. I see a cat. I see a coyote.
Mouse.
Actually, I was going to ask about something else that I just saw on Twitter, but I'll save that one for later.
Oh, you know what? Before I get to that, let me talk about the news item I saw that as I was flipping through websites here. So apparently the Teen Titans TNT show is off the books now.
Oh, really?
No kidding.
I didn't see that.
According to Dave from Bleeding Cool, because I guess, I don't know if there was a bunch of upfronts or something today, because we also got the Daredevil teaser trailer plus new poster plus announcement of the season 2 launch date of March 18th. 2016.
That's right, yep.
So there was that, and then a couple of hours ago, I got a whole bunch of emails from HBO for the announcements of, like, when Game of Thrones starts, and a whole bunch of series and whatnot coming in the spring. And here it talks about Deadline reports that TNT president Kevin Riley said, "We decided it wasn't where we want to go," referring to the Teen Titans show, when asked about the project at Television Critics Association Winter Tour. So that's what's going on. I'm going to try to become a television critic, by the way.
All right. Hey,
there's the whole, like, there's a website, and you can find, like, the application process and when it's open. I put it on my calendar. It's in March. But anyway, so there goes that. That's actually one of the shows I was looking forward to. I don't care about Krypton. Was that the TNT show, that Krypton show? Or was that CBS also?
Was that CBS or, like, CW or something? I don't know.
Yeah. It wasn't CW.
Oh, maybe it was TNT. I don't remember. That was.
Yeah, I don't care about figures. That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me Titans, damn it.
They're about to get. They're going to go back and do a movie on that, then, if that's the case.
They're about to get. It's about to get interesting in the comments, at least, hopefully, because Greg Pak's about to take them over. Yeah. But anyway, year-end award, or year-end best of list. Our first category is most disappointing relaunch.
And we're all over the place.
We start with the negatives here.
Yeah, work our way up. You know how we do.
That's right. That's right. So I'll lead off. So the most disappointing relaunch, in my opinion, of 2015 was Uncanny Avengers. I'm of the opinion that, you know, shoehorning in the Inhumans into this and kind of into this whole Unity team and focusing the story on the impact of the Terrigen Mist on the mutants and that creating all sorts of havoc. While I understand it, I'm not happy with the execution. It's just not a very convincing book at this point. It's not. It's on the chopping block for me in terms of my physical pull.
Yeah, I kind of seconded it. And plus, Uncanny has always had a real shaky launch anyway. Like the first volume kind of came up after the first arc, you know, happened, but. Yeah, this last one was, I could barely even get through a couple, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
I went with the all-new, all-different Inhumans line of Marvel, just because it hasn't been terrible or even bad. It's just, I was enjoying Inhuman so much in the, I guess, that would be whatever. Pre-Secret Wars, that now that we're back, it's like, the characters feel a lot more generic to me. Like, the new characters, like Iso and...
Okay.
I forget even their names now, but the youngsters, the new humans, as they call them. And I'm not really feeling what they're doing. Like, the whole thing with Kang and Uhura, Black Bolt, and Medusa's son, I'm just not feeling that storyline so far. If anything, I'm enjoying all new Inhumans more. Mm-hmm. Plus, Karnak number one came out, and we haven't heard one lick of issue two since. It's been like 2 or 3 months, or like 3 or 4 months by now.
It's funny that you mentioned that today, and that was the first time I thought about it.
It's actually somewhere else I'm at. Karnak
number two, you know?
Karnak comes up later in one of my lists also.
And I took the easy way out, and I chose the entire all-new, all-different Marvel Universe. Because here's the big thing. They did Secret Wars, and they said, we're going to come back after Secret Wars, and things are going to be different, because Secret Wars is going to just merge all this stuff together. So when we come out of Secret Wars, you never know who's going to survive, who's not going to survive, who's going to be part of the world, who's not going to be part of the world. And all we got out of it was Miles Morales is in New York, and Thing is in space.
And there are no more Fantastic Four.
Well, and we've got a bunch of new books that are...
It's not like the Fantastic Four never existed in this history. It's just that they're not printing one. But it's not like the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe is all-new or all-different. In fact, it's vaguely new and semi-different.
Well, I was about to say, and I guess since what we'll find out next week, there are some things that are totally not different in the world, apparently, judging by some of this week's books, a couple of this week's books, but that's a whole another situation. I don't know. We got a bunch of new books by some classic heroes and whatnot, so I don't know. We got something out of it, but I see what you're saying.
I mean, you get pockets of, like, Vision is a little bit different. Okay, sure. Mm-hmm. Is S.H.I.E.L.D. structured differently? No. Is Iron Man have a new history? No. Is Peter Parker's origin story completely different? No. Is Odin's son back to being Thor, or is there someone new as a Thor? No. is, you know, I mean, nothing is all new, nothing is all different.
Well, I think that it's obviously very subtle, right? I think that there's
subtle is not all new, all different.
Right, right. Well, listen, I'm not going to disagree with you in terms of the, you know, the grandiosity of the particular, you know, of the title that they chose, all new, all different. But at the end of the day, you know, I was reading, and I know we're reserving our reviews of this week's books until next week, but, you know, I was reading Ultimates this week, and I was like, wow, you know what? This is actually pretty cool. What, you know, what, who's writing Ultimates now? But the point is, Al Ewing and Kenneth Rockefeller on art. I thought it was pretty cool what they were doing, and it struck me as, you know, a prime example of the all new, all different. So,
well, but you know. I love the new Vision series, and that is completely different from anything they've really published before. But that's not all new, all different. That's one character in a corner of the Marvel Universe with a quiet little title that's not getting a lot of attention. That's not a massive. It's not like Avengers has been struck to their core and now it's like the biggest heavy hitters you've ever seen in the history of Marvel or anything like
they've
that.
They've gone the other way. So it's here's like, the thing. They've gone the other way.
Actually, I'm kind of
gone the other way. They've gone away from the heavy hitter.
Yeah,
but they've done that before. The whole Marvel Avengers disassembled was because they had a team full of second stringers and B-level characters that nobody really cared about. So they killed them all off and shuffled everything up and relaunched it with.
But they relaunched it with a bunch of street level characters. If you recall,
and some heavy hitters too, because it didn't like Mighty Avengers come out of that when they had like Thing on the group, and then we ended up with, you know, Storm and Luke Cage and all those other people kind of coming in.
They made non-Avengers.
Yeah.
So, I'm most disappointed in the relaunch of the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe.
All right.
All indifferent, I see.
I see. Next up, we have the most disappointing event.
I love how we have a little consensus here, because Roddy and Tim picked the other event that I was going to choose. I chose Convergence. Because that was something I just stopped reading, and it was just very disappointing.
Yeah. I agreed with that. I also chose Convergence, and I'm a heavy DC guy. And it's mostly because it's the kind of the same idea as the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe. It was, hey, you never know what's going to happen to the DC Universe. We have all these multiverses coming back, and there's nothing.
Yeah, it was basically like, their secret war.
And it was so secret that none of the rest of the DC Universe knows about it. Technically, you got one book. You got the Superman, Lois, and Clark, which I love that book.
That's
but
right.
Technically, that's the only thing that really came out of Convergence. Nothing else.
Yeah, whereas I chose Black Vortex because I don't think anything happened in that book. There was nothing groundbreaking, but there was nothing really...
There was no point.
There was nothing, yeah, there was no point to it. Like, all right,
the entire point was to have Bendis write the two crossover books.
Right. I mean, yeah, we got a couple of people that kept their powers afterwards, but it's outside of that, nothing. We got zilch. Or nothing of value.
And I originally had Convergence down as mine until I saw Roddy had Black Vortex, and I thought about it some more, and I said, yeah.
Whoa, that was even more disappointing.
That was more disappointing. Because the way I look at it is, I wasn't interested in Convergence to begin with, so, you know, conclusion, it didn't affect me at all.
Right.
Whereas, you know, I read mostly Marvel, and yet another Bendis wasn't, quote-unquote, the ringleader for this event. It was Sam Humphries, apparently. But still, it reminded me of a Bendis-esque event where nothing is really resolved by the end of it.
Yeah,
which has me not looking forward to Civil War 2 later this year.
Yeah, that might be on this list.
Yeah.
But another thing about Black Vortex was I feel like I remember all of us being pretty stoked about it going into it, because it seemed like it had some sort of promise to it.
Right.
And
right.
I had to do...
Didn't we get Yotat out of that too or not?
That was Secret Wars.
Oh, no. Yotat wasn't just Secret Wars? He was just Secret Wars?
Guardians of Nowhere.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I had to do some Googling to see if another event actually happened in 2015 or not. But
which one?
It happened at the end of 2014, so
It
barely missed. Avengers versus X-Men Axis.
Yeah, I thought about that, and I went and looked.
No.
I was like, ooh.
Oh, my God.
I was like, was that 2015?
Yeah. Oh, man, I totally forgot about that. That's so
bad. Yeah, Axis was a bummer.
Oh, man.
Next up, we have...
You don't miss you, Remender.
Next up, we have most disappointing genre movie.
I love how I am the standout on this one. I'm the one that's standing alone on this one.
I mean, come on, low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, you guys took the Ops one, man. I didn't even watch the one that you guys picked. Let me lead with mine, because I guess mine might be semi-controversial. I thought, for me, my most disappointing genre movie was Avengers Age of Ultron, because I didn't even have expectations for Fantastic Four. I never watched it, so, you know, I'm stoked. I'm probably one of the bigger fans of the Avengers on the panel, on this panel, and, you know, after the first one, you know, I was just hoping. Obviously, you know, you think that there might be a bit of a sophomore jinx with the second one, but, you know, I was just generally disappointed with the movie. There's a couple of highlights here and there, but just with the general execution and the general direction of the movie, I was pretty disappointed. I was generally pleased, but mostly disappointed with the movie.
Mm. So here's the thing. I would have almost been with you, except for the fact that I remember coming out of that movie was like, yeah, this was not a good... It was a pretty decent Avengers good, but it was not as good as the first one. And that was the most disappointing part of it. But as you said, the sophomore jinx is a mother, so that's kind of one thing. I can't, in relation to Marvel movies as a whole, though, I don't think or even genre movies as a whole, I don't think it was disappointing. It was just kind of all right, that's what it was, and good. You know, it was good. It was just not as good as the first one.
Right, but that's why why it's my most disappointing, because I had at least semi-high expectations, and I came out of the movie disappointed, so.
Yeah.
But I feel you guys, I definitely understand where you guys come from on yours.
And I will say, I did have some decent expectations for Fantastic Four, mainly because when a whole bunch of critics say this movie's terrible, usually it's a sign that it's actually decent.
Yeah, like it was almost set up to fail.
Yeah, exactly. Critics who hate movies are generally people who have really bad opinions. So I just went ahead and thought, yeah, we'll see it, because it'll probably be pretty decent. It's probably not the greatest movie ever, but it's probably all right. And that was wrong, but...
I'll put it this way, I need to finish watching it. That's how bad it got, because I started and I was like, oh man, I'll come back. Now that could have been me at the time, because there was a couple things going on, but it was like, okay, I can't put energy into this.
Mm-hmm. Next up, most disappointing book.
This one was a toughie for me. So I had to go with, and the only reason why I went with this book was because of, I was disappointed because I wanted more of it. And this was Captain Britain and the Mighty Avengers, which was a Secret Wars tie-in, which, you know, it didn't, in the grand stream of Secret Wars, it really didn't do that much. But there was an actual good book. It was just only two issues, and, you know, there could have been more to it. You know,
you mean the Mighty Defenders?
Mighty Defenders, that's right. I did put that. I'm thinking about the older Mighty Avengers because the same writer anyway. But
right. Al Ewing.
Yeah. But, yeah, like I said, the major disappointment was there could have been more they could have done with it.
It was only like a two-issue miniseries.
Only
right?
Two issues, yeah.
Yeah, they crammed in a lot of story into the two issues, too.
Exactly.
It felt like it was rushed.
Waste time doing that.
Yeah, kind of. And there were
some of the characters that Al Ewing and, you know, like some of the Captain Britain corner of the universe characters, they wanted to, you know, flesh that out, at least for Secret Wars.
And I will say, I almost put New Avengers in here, even though I love that book, so it wouldn't have made it for that, but it was a niggling part because it was like, they didn't use enough new universe characters, and that was just on me, so
okay,
there wasn't enough new universe stuff to come back into play, because they kind of put that out there early on, and Secret Wars kind of came and went, and everything else kind of came and went, and we only got a couple.
Okay. I said Ultimate End.
Yeah, same as me.
Yeah, you didn't care for that too much.
This is tough. Because, you know, Bendis came out and said, this is all going to make sense, what, in issue number 4? And it still didn't make any sense in 4 and 5. It was just a waste of time.
Big waste of time.
My biggest problem was there was more to the Ultimate Universe than just Miles Morales, but according to this book, there really wasn't.
Except half of everybody was dead, though, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly. What I was going to say, and Roddy hit this point right on the head. I was listening to the This Week in Marvel podcast from, I guess, a week or two ago, and Tom Brevoort was on, editor. What is his position, editor-in-chief?
Executive editor.
Right. Yeah. So he was on as a guest, and he was talking about, well, you know, how Secret Wars came to be, and some of the things that had to change as, you know, the original story idea didn't quite mesh with where the characters were at this point in time. And, Roddy hit it right on the head. So many of the Ultimate characters had been killed off. Like, their doppelgangers were alive and well in the new in the Marvel 616, the regular Marvel universe. But because their counterparts weren't alive in the Ultimate universe, I hate to say this, there wasn't much to save. You know, I know Doug probably, you know, Dirt probably feels a little differently about that.
I mean, I loved what they did with the Ultimate universe in the last couple of years. I know if you go back to, like, the first series of the Ultimates, it was pretty terrible. When they did Ultimatum, I think that's the one where they flooded New York City, whatever. That was pretty awful. But the last couple of years, they actually did some really good stuff with the, you know, there was a revolution. The mutant gene turned out to be like a biovirus weapon that, you know, I mean, there was some really interesting stuff that they did. And then by the time they get to Ultimate End, they're just like, okay, everybody's dead except Miles Morales. Like, oh, okay.
And his friend, and his supporting cast.
Well, yeah, and his mom's back alive.
Yeah. Oh, wait, spoiler alert.
It's basically like, it seemed like the last couple, because I remember when we talked about this, like, basically the last couple of years, it was like, they just let them just go nuts with it. And then that's when things started to pick up for a couple of people here on the panel, if I remember correctly.
That's what almost a bunch of the books pre-Secret Wars turned into, like, hey, we know the universe is going to get reset anyway, so let's have Daredevil's identity be revealed. There's some other examples I can't think of right now, but just like, what else happened that nothing else comes to mind right now, but that's just one example.
She-Hulk had a book, R.I.P.
Yeah, right? That's funny.
That was just a joke on us.
Yeah.
All right.
Next.
I was going to say, we have Dirt.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, my most disappointing,
all the time.
Disappointing book, most disappointing, is Walking Dead.
It disappoints you like every month it comes out.
And it's like every month I give it a chance, you know? It's like every month, is something awesome going to happen in this book? And every month the answer is no. It's a bunch of people who build farm towns and they get mad over who controls what territory and... the zombies are no longer a threat. Like, it's no longer the world of Night of the Living Dead. It's more like you're in the African savannah, and maybe once a month you stumble across a lion. Maybe once a month in Walking Dead, there's like a zombie that happens to fall down a hill or something right where you're walking. It's like, oh my gosh, there's one of those things. But for the most part, it's the whole zombie thing is forgotten. It's an afterthought. It vaguely has anything to do with the story anymore, and I'm just so... Like I said, every month I give it a chance. Like, are there going to be zombies in this one? And every month the answer is like, no, not really.
That's, yeah.
So are you hate reading this, or is this like Stockholm's at this point?
Yeah, it's...
It's probably both.
It's like you have that friend that you've known your entire life, and one day he decides he's not going to shower anymore, but you still decide you're going to hang out with him because he's your friend. Oh, so you think maybe one of these days he'll clean himself up, but it just never happens.
Oh, man, that was graphic.
That seems, yeah, but that's kind of specific.
I was going to say, is that specific only to the people I hang out with?
I was going to say, that is so based on real life just now.
Huh.
Oh, wow. I can't.
Yeah, I don't know where to go from that.
Wow. All right.
Show's over.
Good night, everybody.
We also have worst gimmick or variant cover.
Oh, see, now Dirt and I are going to have words over
this. No, wait, I've got an explanation for that, but go ahead and do yours.
We're going to have words over this. All right, so it looks like Roddy and I are on the same page on this. I am not a fan of these blind bag variant covers that are coming in the little black book, the Harley little black book thing.
Yeah.
I think the main thing is... you know, while I understand the idea of trying to randomize it and obviously upping the collector quotient, some of the books, at least initially, were coming out damaged. And I know that was just a big, that made a made for a big, big stink and a big situation in some retailers, for some retailers. So that's why, that's my worst gimmick or variant cover.
Yeah, I have a kind of a love-hate with blind bag stuff. Like, okay, with certain stuff it works fine because, all right, you got a lot to deal with and whatnot. These, with comic books, I don't care for it too much because especially when you don't know what you're getting and... You know, and there's like probably that one that you would want, but you got to kind of buy six or seven of them to get that. No, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate when they do something blind bag, but they have a code on it.
Right.
So if you want to look it up and get a specific one, you can do that. But if you want you know, just the randomized, you know, pick one up, whatever. But, like, they're little mini Minecraft figures my kids love to collect. They actually have a code stamped on the bottom. And if you look at, like, the fifth digit out of the six-digit code, you can see what it actually is, you know, so they can get the specific ones they want. But some kids go up and just, you know, buy two or three and just see whatever random they get. And it's, like, right. You know, that's fine.
Spoiler alert!
For stuff like that, it's cool, though.
Yeah, give people an option if they want it there. But, yeah, on these covers... there are a lot of people that are really disappointed. We've had people who bought a couple, you know, they would buy two or three copies, and they'd sit there and rip them open in front of us and be like, okay, well, I don't want any of these. Can I trade them back in? And you're like, well, you just bought them for $3. You can trade them back in for $1. And they go, okay, you know, whatever, because they just want whatever cover, and they're
cover they want. Yeah.
It's like, that stinks.
Yeah, it does stink.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Tim didn't have any opinion on this.
Because I don't pay attention to hit cover variant covers, really. Okay. Except for the hip-hop ones. Okay. And I like them, so.
This is where I'm going to come in on why this is the worst quote-unquote gimmick, is because they made a huge media push where they went on TV, they had ads all over the internet, they had people trying to talk about these books, they were, you know, trying to get it to trend on Twitter, whatever, and then when it comes time to actually order the books, I cannot, as a retailer, say, give me 20 of those, give me 10 of those, give me 40 of those. I have to go through and find some book I ordered 4 months ago, figure out how many copies I ordered, I have to run it through some algebraic formula to come up with some number, and I have to order that many copies of a random comic in order to have the ability to then go in and order what I want of these covers. So they basically told a whole bunch of people, hey, go to your local retailer and tell them you want to buy these, and we have to go, hey, no, because I'm not going to order 50 copies of Unbeatable Squirrel Girl just so I can get you a variant, because then I'm going to have 48 copies of Unbeatable Squirrel Girl that are never going to sell. If they had made these books that you could just say, you know, everybody who wanted a whole set could check a box and they could get a whole set. Everybody who wanted, you know, all the Wolverines could, you know, click and say, I want all the Wolverines, and we could order them for them, fine. You know, but the way that they actually did it was such a pain, and it was really a headache for retailers, and it was frustrating for a lot of consumers. We still have people who come in and they go, I never got a copy of this. Can you order that? And it's like, well, no, now at this point, you can't order them anymore. The time has passed. You have to order them 2 months in advance, 3 months in advance, and people don't understand that, especially casual fans who are trying to just collect a random cover.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. But that homage is a favorite album cover. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you like the idea of it, great, but the way it was executed, the way they handled it was just idiotic.
So I agree with. I think that the category for that for that particular item would be worst retailer experience of ordering, worst retailer ordering experience.
Well, you didn't give me that option.
Yeah, that needs to be so then you're
okay. Put that on sheet two, please.
Yeah, seriously, because seriously, I was very excited. I know we're going to talk about these books next week, but I was excited to pick up these two covers this week. The Paid in Full cover, which is one of my all-time favorite albums, period, from Eric B. and Rakim, and the King of Rock cover for Rocket and Groot. So awesome. So, we'll talk about these books next week, but I was absolutely jazzed to pick up these books this week.
I think those are the only two hip-hop covers I've bought in the last 3 weeks.
You didn't pick up the NW, the Straight Outta Compton one?
Yeah, A-Force
one. I couldn't find it anywhere.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the tough part. No, believe me, I understand that. That's
the
tough part.
In the last, like, 3 or 4 weeks, there was a lot of that happening. So.
Yeah, and I think the last 2 weeks, no number ones came out. I may be mistaken, though.
Yeah, I guess.
No, there's a couple. I mean, I'm not going to dig through, because I've already boxed some of the older stuff. So.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. All right, next.
Books that need to be canceled. This is where we... fire creators, I suppose.
All right, really, Dirk? Kick it off, 70. Yeah, we'll get there.
Okay, I'm gonna lead off. All right, so I think the book that needs to be canceled is The Abomination Known as Venom Space Knight. I've never read it. I bought it for the hip-hop cover, and that is it. It needs to go. Bye-bye.
Okay. And this is where I'll speak up and say I enjoy Robbie Thompson on Spidey and Silk, and Venom Space Knight is another winning book for him. I see his... Just like with Tom King, I can see his, like, profiles rising in the next year or so if he sticks with Marvel and doesn't go back to writing for television. But that's awesome. Okay.
This is one that even my son was excited for when it came out, but after reading one and two, he's not sure that he even wants to read it anymore.
Seemed kind of unnecessary.
Yep.
Well, and it's just like nothing really happens.
I almost put Scarlet Witch on there, even though I haven't read it.
Jeez, it's only one issue, dude. Chill.
Well, I do have another only one issue book for this category. And the book that needs to be canceled is Karnak, since it already seems to be delayed months. What's up with that, Marvel? I actually like the art on it. And actually, I read the first issue about the hip-hop cover for it. First issue seemed interesting, or coming from someone that doesn't really ever read any of Warren Ellis' stuff, but I couldn't get my issue two fits.
Yeah, so, seriously. It's more, you know, out of sight, out of mind for me. It's funny that when I saw this in your as your choice for this for this category, it reminded me, oh yeah, we really haven't seen issue number two. And I Googled, the last time we had seen an issue number one, and that was a while back. So I definitely understand that, Roddy. I see you on this one.
Yeah, given my yearly Deadpool hate. It was necessary. Plus, I couldn't think of anything else that needed to be canceled at the time that I was thinking about it. So, there you go. Anything with Deadpool.
Just in general.
You do realize there's a movie coming out, right?
I do absolutely realize there's a movie, and I'm probably going to watch it at some point, yes.
All right, well, I'm going to take the heat here on this one because Captain America Sam Wilson is terrible.
Wow.
I went back and read one and two, and I think a lot of the criticisms on that book were completely valid. You had a writer who said, we need to create something for villains to do, so the villains are going to stop people from breaking the law, and this is going to be what I characterize as a bad thing, which is just stupid. The story is all over the place. It jumps back and forth, and there's a lot of, he can't do anything wrong. He's the new Captain America, and then he does something wrong, and nobody likes him, but then everybody likes him. He did something wrong, and it's very unclear and unpolished. Mm. And then they followed up the terrible first arc with Cap Wolf. I mean, are we just going to go down the list of bad Captain America stories and ideas, and that's what we're going to run with? Like, no, sorry.
I think Spencer turning everything on its head. You know, just very quickly, I know Roddy may have a more impassioned defense of the book. I am pleasantly surprised by this book every time I read it because I'm not a fan of the idea, but at the same time, I kind of admire the execution and the gumption that Spencer has and going kind of down the paths with the story because, you know, it's definitely got a political bent to it. It's definitely got, you know, a real world, it's drawing parallels from the real world politics, of today. So I see that, and you know, I admire that. That's definitely a tradition of Captain America books, and I think that Spencer is carrying that on. I'm willing to give this more time. It's moved itself away from my chopping block on my physical pull list. So I give them credit for consistently. Giving me a pleasant surprise when I read it. So that's my opinion on this. Roddy, take it away.
No, well, see, the only thing I'm going to say is I don't think this book needs to be canceled. Like, I like Nick Spencer. I kind of like what he's doing with the book off and on, but it also plays into what I don't like about Sam Wilson's run as Cap in general. So I think the bigger issue with it is that, and not necessarily the book itself, because it's like, Sam has not had the most stellar run. I mean, and maybe some of this plays into the part that I haven't read Captain America in a minute. So, but his run in the last couple of years since he's been Cap has not been great. It's always either been interrupted by something or something coming up or, you know, something just kind of taken away from him actually putting some meaty stories on the table. And like I said, I like Nick Spencer. I see he's kind of hitting the ground doing what he does. But in certain ways, this is still kind of like just, geez, he's just not catching a break. And not necessarily saying that, hey, every issue needs to be, well, hey, it's another good day for Captain America. You know, he has to actually fight somebody and do something. Like this last issue kind of brought up some stuff. It was like, all right, well, just, like, he's always being caught, which, yeah, I get it. That has to happen. But it was like, it seemed like he gets caught more than he's actually, you know, affecting anything. Mm-hmm. But like I said, outside of that, that's my issues are with his run as Cap and how he's been treated, and not necessarily, you know, the book's fault.
I just think it's bad booking all the way around. They have not booked him to be champion at WrestleMania.
Oh, no.
Hey, maybe that's the next arc. They'll start that back up.
Right.
He's taking over for John Cena since he has a blown retirement.
We're talking about doing bad cap stories. He'll just take over the role of D-Man.
Well, D-Man's already in the book, so. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, but he'll take over for D-Man. He'll be moonlining as D-Man when he's not being Captain America.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
That's the most disappointing genre TV show.
I love how Tim stretched this category.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I don't watch. I mean, of all the comics, genre TV shows I watch, I like all of them. So I just put down the show that I have that I watch regularly that I haven't enjoyed that much this year.
Come on, man. Empire. What don't you like about this?
Which is second season of Empire.
Oh, no.
On Fox.
Mm. Oh no!
So I'm going to bring up
like a bad reality show.
Wow! All right, Roddy, what were you gonna say?
Well, I was gonna say so. I'm kind of with Agent 70 on this one. Because that's why I put it as an option. Constantine was actually my first. After I thought about it, because Arrow hasn't been bad, it's just been Arrow. But Constantine being canceled, that was a bummer because it had so much promise. They could have done things with that, but given it was on NBC at the time it was, and not given a whole lot of love, it just didn't get it. And it was it was really going somewhere. Yeah, like it was like it when it ended, like they was getting into like something major. I was like, but they didn't let it happen.
But you also mentioned Arrow.
I did actually. Yeah, because Arrow's just Arrow, and it's just pretty much, hey, it's there because it's the Arrowverse. And I'm not saying that there hasn't been any good episodes, because it has. This whole Damien Dark thing has been kind of to me. Like, there's been some good episodes, but it's just like he's kind of teetering on out of his element with that. But it's also serving to bring in other people, so for that, it's good. But I was also going to bring up, because Powers was actually my other one that I was going to bring up, but being that I didn't finish that first season run, I can't really say too much about it.
I got you.
Like, I got three in, and I was like, and just kind of dropped it.
Well, that's also a sign that it's not good.
Yeah, kind of.
I guess.
Yeah.
I went with a series called Mr. Robot. And
I thought that was good, though.
I put that as disappointing because, to me, it started out really strong. And then as you got a couple episodes into it, it started to fall apart. And I really liked the idea behind it. I really liked the way they built up the paranoia about it. I liked the way that you didn't know what was reality and what was happening in his mind. I thought there were some really great concepts there. But it just, I think it got overloaded on trying to psych itself out too much and trying to be shocking in a lot of ways. And once you get to a point where it's just, you know, like, this is cable TV, look what we can get away with. Well, then you're getting away from good storytelling and you're just doing a lot of shock for the sake of shock.
Shock, yeah.
And then it loses. And because it makes me think of another TV show, I almost mentioned this one instead. But I could have picked Hannibal for season 3. Really liked seasons 1 and 2, but season 3 was one where it lost the heart of what made the show so good in the first place, and season 3 just went right off a cliff, and I actually gave up on it. I loved season 1 and 2 so much that I actually bought the Blu-rays.
Wow!
Season 3, I got about halfway through, and I said, I'm not even going to finish this. I'm never going to buy the discs. I'm going to pretend like it never happened. As far as I'm concerned, Hannibal ended after season 2, and it had the perfect ending, and nothing more ever came after.
And yet people were asking for more of it, and I was like, it's already, what was it? It's been, what is it, 5 seasons that it made?
No, it was only 3.
It was only 3? Okay. And they killed it?
Yeah. Well, and the thing was, the third season got maybe about 2 or 3 episodes in, and they announced it was being canceled because the numbers were so low.
Right.
So I know I'm not the only person that was really disappointed in season 3, because seasons 1 and 2 was like a police procedural following serial killers, and Hannibal happened to be in the mix messing with things. Once they got to season 3, all of that was out the window, and instead they're just running through Europe, killing people and pretending to be people they aren't. And like, that was the whole storyline. It was just terrible. It had nothing to do, really, with what had come before. It was a completely different feel, a completely different look. They changed 60% of the actors on the show, so it was one of those where it just kind of felt like they made this mad rush to change everything to try to save it, and by changing everything, they just killed a lot of people's interest. So, anyway, that's what I had.
Okay.
Most satisfying genre TV show.
Yeah, I went with The Flash. I think that's still the most consistent show that reflects its comic book roots. So that, you know, it respects its comic book roots. That's why I give it a lot of props.
I second that emotion, and I would add also Vixen, even though, you know, we didn't get a whole lot of it, and we didn't get exactly what a bunch of people wanted out of it, meaning live action. But since she's coming to the Arrowverse anyway, that may or may not make up for it.
Okay. So.
I just did a double take at Doug's selection.
Who, me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Supergirl's the one that my son and I are watching this one together. We both like it. It's pretty family-friendly. You get a lot of nods to stuff in the comics. It's upbeat. It's friendly. You know, it's... I like it.
I'm kind of surprised that you say that, I second it. That's actually been a pretty fun show to watch.
I went with Quantico on ABC. Again, not comic book related or anything of that nature, but man, this is a good series. So I watched all the episodes live on Sunday nights, and over the two-week break, I binge-watched the first season again, and of course, with these hour-long shows, you catch stuff the second time around that you missed the first time. Made me love it even more. Can't wait for it to come back. And I also just put down Vixen to reference a comic book show that I did enjoy, but it was nice. It was a short animated, like 5 minutes or under show. So just a quick shout out to Vixen, but Quantico for my number one pick.
Plus, Tim likes the lead on it.
Listen, that
she's pretty.
That works.
Okay, back to comics. Book that needs more.
Let's move on and pretend this never happened.
It's in the interwebs now. That's funny.
Okay.
All right.
Book that needs more readers.
All right.
Oh, I love our choices here.
Well, go ahead. You're first on the list, so.
All right. So I chose as a book for my book that needs more readers, I chose Web Warriors because I happen to like a lot of these characters that came out of the Spider-Verse crossover and, you know, a mini event. And, you know, I like the fact that this is an ongoing series that chronicles this group of various iterations of Spider-Man across the Marvel multiverse coming together and kind of teaming up on a regular basis. I think it's a really fun book. The writer is Michael Costa. The penciler is David Baldion. It's just right now it's had, I believe, 2 issues, and it's just been a lot of fun through the first 2 issues. And I hope that without looking at the sales charts, I'm just betting that this is not near the top. So I think this book needs more readers.
Yeah, and this is one that, again, my son and I both read together, and we'll talk about it afterwards, and we both love it a lot. Like, I can agree, almost all the books on this list, except one, which...
oh, no.
But yeah, I really like this one. I think it has a lot of imagination and a lot of creativity to it. Mm-hmm. And I don't... This is one of those books... I read... Everything my son wants to read, I read first if I think it might be somewhat questionable, and this was rated T+. So I said, okay, well, it's T+. He is 10 years old. He's about to be 11. I should probably take a look at it first just to make sure. And I read it, and I can't find any reason why it's a T+ and not
probably
just a regular...
Probably for the violence.
I guess maybe, but even that's kind of cartoony.
It is. That's the thing. What I was going to say is I believe it's the art style that I believe kind of softens the blow of some of the violence in the book. So that's probably why it's rated T+. I don't think I would rate this lower, though, because I don't think this is a kid's book. So
I wouldn't say it's a kid's book, but you could rate it T for teen for 13-year-olds. I don't see any problem with that.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
So anyway, I think it's great, even though it's rated higher than what I think it is. I think it is fine for younger readers to read, and I agree. I like seeing random Spider-Man from Dimension X, you know, show up like, oh, this is Spider-Man, but he's great at Kung Fu. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. I like this. It's really one of my sleeper books this, you know, that has come out of Secret Wars.
Like, I can almost guarantee it'll never be like a click of the week book, but it'll always be a book that I'll make sure I read and I enjoy.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, I'll go ahead. I went ahead and picked Martian Manhunter from DC. This new series is fantastic for people who love the old Vertigo line. When it first launched in the early days, when it was full of weird, you know, set in the DC universe type stuff, but just really awkward, out there, crazy stuff, that's what this is. It's one of those books that really gets into your brain and plays with your mind and Every time you think you've got something figured out, it shows you that you were not only wrong, but then it explains how it got there and how you missed it along the way. So I really like the book, and I think it's one that if a lot more people would sit down and read it, they would really enjoy it.
You've got me curious about this one, I must say.
I'm mad that Martian Manhunter didn't come to my mind, because I probably would have picked it too. But instead I picked The Sender from Image Comics, from creator team Jeff Lemire, Dustin Nguyen. It's about a robotic young lad. They're on a planet, and these big, humongous, like, robots come down and, like, destroy the United Galactic Council, and they start outlawing all robotics, and even, like, the little android characters like he is. It's more like how he was raised with his family, and that sort of gives him humanity, and they wonder, is there something inside Tim 21 that holds the key to stopping these those big, huge robots from coming back and destroying the rest of the world? So if you like sci-fi, it's not even sci-fi. I was going to say sci-fi adventure. I guess it's an adventure story because things happen in it. But it's not action. It's not an action-packed comic. More adventure style. Then I definitely recommend Descender.
I don't know. I'll have to read it because this is one I remember when the first one came out, I kind of flipped through it and I just, I don't know, and set it aside and never went back to it. So I'll have to go back and check it out since you've put it on this list.
Yeah.
Well, that would leave me with Vision. Now, I don't think there's anybody on this panel that would, would disagree with this because, you know, this book came, no one was thinking anything about this book when it came about. We didn't even know what it was to be until we started reading it, and then it turned out to just be the sleeper hit across the board for, I can safely say, everybody here. So
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, like, it's just a totally different thing that you would expect from kind of pretty much anything that's been put out, you know, in the last couple of years, or probably longer than that. So I am very curious to see where this goes, and Tom King's has been doing pretty great on it, and art's been great, and I am loving this book. Like, more people just need to read it, seriously.
All right. I agree with you.
All right. Best gimmick or variant cover?
All right. Since I'm up first, my favorite variant cover for 2015 was and it's actually featured in the free giveaway Marvel hip hop cover giveaway this week. It's the cover to Amazing Spider-Man number 1 by Mike Del Mundo. It is a tribute to the album cover of Midnight Marauders by A Tribe Called Quest, circa 1993. So this is this is one of the images that was circulated when the hip hop covers were first announced, and I was in as soon as I saw this. Mm-hmm. I was down. I was definitely down.
I agree with you on that one. Like, it was kind of hard for me to try to pick one, so I may just piggyback on that one because there has been actually a couple of good. I mean, There's probably, I can pick out probably a good five really.
Sure.
Good
ones. I almost chose the ghost face. The Totally Awesome Hulk one, that is a close second for me.
Yeah, so it was like, it was either this one, or Ultimates, or, the All-New Avengers with the Roots joint, and...
That was a good one.
Yeah. I mean, Ms. Marvel with the
mystification. Oh, yeah, exactly, so, Lauryn Hill, yeah.
Like, there's just been so many classic ones, but, I may just go with you on Amazing Spider-Man, because that is the... Like, you pick that up, you can't say it. That is totally classic right there.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Ultimates just because it took me so long to find that cover. Yeah. I had to go out of state to find
what?
It.
What? Oh, that's right. You were on your trip into Texas or something.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh,
stop in Texas. Had it, so.
And I'm going the different route. DC did a month of movie poster inspired. They did an Action Comics off of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. They had Green Lantern here that was 2001 Space Odyssey. Batman and Superman, which the Fugitive.
The one that I picked up, though, that I liked for this was the Wonder Woman one for 300.
Yeah. And all of them, well, I mean, there may have been a couple that weren't very good, but for the most part, almost all of them were fantastic, and especially the Batman one, which used the Mask movie poster with Joker taking the iconic pose of Jim Carrey from the Mask movie. I mean, all of those were really good.
Yeah.
I never saw that cover that you're highlighting, Dirt, for our viewers on our YouTube channel. I never actually saw that Stanley Kubrick, the 2001 A Space Odyssey poster homage.
Oh, yeah, that was one of the ones that I had to make sure that I you know, ordered for myself. I was like, if I don't get that one, I'm going to be pretty upset, you know?
You know what? And one of them I wanted to get was the, I think it was the Batgirl one with Purple Rain, and I never did get that one.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I did not see that one. I'm going to Google that
one. Yeah, it was pretty good because it was basically Batgirl on a bike, and, you know, and that one, it was pretty great.
Wasn't it Batman coming through the door?
I think so, yeah. Or he was at the top of the stairs or whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, it was a pretty great one, and I never did.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Because that was crazy. The one that made me was like, all right, I gotta at least catch one.
It's Yvonne Craig. It's Yvonne Craig Batgirl too. It's not right. A comic Batgirl. It's Yvonne Craig Batgirl. Mm-hmm. 66 Batman style. Oh my goodness, that's really nice.
And I almost said shout out to Patsy Walker because the Hellcat one was actually pretty good too. Blowout clone, but we'll probably get to that one next week. I guess maybe I don't know.
Okay,
so
most satisfying book.
A couple people agreeing on one of these.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, it's evident from how, you know, it's evident to me how much I enjoy this book by how often I mention it when we're doing Click of the Week consideration. So, for me, the most satisfying book of 2015 was Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
Just because it was consistently good. I even liked some of the Final Days issues. That kind of bled into Secret Wars because it didn't. Ms. Marvel did not end when Secret Wars technically started its publication. So there were some bleed issues into the as the event was taking place. So there really hasn't been many months, if any, where there was no Ms. Marvel on the stands. So you know it was a pretty consistent year. Lots of good stuff coming out. So, you know, for me, the most satisfying book overall has been Ms. Marvel.
Yeah, the only thing I have to add to that is that there has never been an issue that wasn't delightful for Ms. Marvel. So it was a no-brainer.
It's so good it knocked your voice out, huh?
Yeah, basically.
All right. I went with Superman, Lois, and Clark. This is one of the few things that actually came out of Convergence. And this is bringing back the original era version of Superman from the... I guess technically he's supposed to be the one from before Crisis on Infinite Earths, but he feels more like the one that came out from the mid-90s, early 90s.
Yeah, I was about to say definitely mid-90s. When Lois and Clark were really still an item.
Yeah, and there are two things that make this satisfying for me. One is that something good actually came out of Convergence. Like, whoa, blew my mind. But two... to me, what makes this so good is the idea that you get year after year of relaunches and redesigns and reconceptualizing and redoing and recasting and remarketing. And basically, this book is saying, okay, everybody, let's go back to this old version of Superman that everybody liked, and you can have that character back. And to me, there's something satisfying about that idea that you don't have to redo everything, you know, every 5 to 10 years. You can make a character have a long-standing history and grow and build upon it and let them get older. And, you know, start to have a few gray hairs and have a child who's growing up and, you know, actually build a life instead of always trying to, you know, remake it, rebuild it, redo it, you know, reconceptualize it. Sometimes going back to the old standard is good. And I like this series. I like the characters. I like the writing. I like the artwork. Lee Weeks is fantastic. So to me, this is very satisfying to have this character back, this version of the character back, and to have a good book doing Superman.
A brand new life around the bend.
And mine is a combination. Start with the war, no adjectives or adverbs included. Back when we got the female Thor and the mystery of who it was, and it carried on over after Secret Wars, even though Secret Wars hasn't ended officially yet, with the Mighty Thor, and continuing with Jane Foster's adventures as Thor. Jason Aaron probably could be one of my favorite writers of the year. I think that's actually a category on here, if I'm not mistaken, which I think I listed a couple people, so I have to narrow it down. But so far, like, all his books have been great this year. I even caught up on Volume 1 of Southern Bastards over the two-week break, another great series from him and Jason Latour at Image. But as far as my favorite or satisfying book of 2015, Thor/The Mighty Thor.
All right.
Most satisfying genre movie.
Huh. Wow, I love how I definitely...
Well, okay, you defend your choice first.
Okay. And it's probably because I don't think everyone else's choice was as satisfying to me as it was to everyone else. So the reason why I chose Marvel's Ant-Man as my most satisfying genre movie is because, unlike Avengers Age of Ultron, I had lower expectations. And all of my expectations were exceeded after, you know, when I was watching this movie. And that's why it was the most satisfying, because everything that I thought I would see in this movie and maybe not enjoy, I ended up enjoying a lot. I ended up enjoying Paul Rudd as Scott Lang. I ended up enjoying Michael Douglas as Hank Pym. So, you know, there were a lot of little callbacks to some of the Marvel Cinematic Universe continuity, like Peggy Carter makes an appearance in this, which is awesome, you know, kind of like establishing what S.H.I.E.L.D. was like post-World War II, but pre-Avengers, pre-Sam Jackson, Nick Fury. So, it was a lot of fun. It was definitely satisfying in that regard.
I still haven't watched it.
Oh, no! I'm sorry not to... Damn it, why don't you tell a brother to ring the...
It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. We are past that point on this thing, so...
Sorry about that.
No, you're good. I'm still going to watch it.
Well, the rest of us all picked Star Wars The Champ Awakens.
You ass. You guys really, and all listeners need to go to our YouTube channel and look at this awful image that Dirt has posted.
This is the most awesome movie poster of all time.
I should have seen this coming. I should have seen this one.
That is awful.
Oh, man.
Okay, does everyone need to tell us all how satisfying Star Wars The Force Awakens was?
We got a new Star Wars movie after umpteenth amount of years, and it was a good Star Wars movie. Yeah, it was...
It didn't suck.
Exactly.
Right. I'll give you that. It didn't suck.
Because it has so much potential to do that, given, you know, everybody... Well, not everybody involved, because everybody involved with it has been, you know, has had their strengths and weaknesses. So... Yeah, we got a good Star Wars movie. It's a mixture of things we've seen before. They played it kind of safe. We've kind of been through a lot of this stuff before, but it was great. And people wanted to see it. Like, I don't know how many people have seen it more than once here. Like, I haven't had a chance to do it
yet. I've only seen it once, and I'd be okay if I only saw it maybe one more time. That's the thing. I'd be okay with seeing it maybe one more time. I'd like to see it in IMAX. That's probably the one experience I'd like to see it in before it hits home video.
I've seen it on my computer and on the big screen.
Nice.
It was pretty good in both, but I would like to see it in 3D. I do like, I'm one of those people, I still like 3D movies.
Right.
If I could get a 3D TV for under, you know, $400, I'd probably go get one. But they're still, you know, ridiculously expensive, and they're not making them like they used to, which boggles my mind because I love the idea of 3D TV. But, I would like to see it again in 3D, but, I mean, I've seen it twice now, and I enjoyed it both times.
I've said that whole 3D thing is a CES conversation, but that's for another thing. But, Tim, did you ever see it in 2D? Because I know you saw it in 3D first.
I did.
Any difference for you seeing it in...
Not really. It seemed the same. Yeah. Good. Cool. Let's see. Most satisfying event.
I'm going with Secret Wars. I'm having a lot of fun reading it.
But it's not over.
I know.
See, but that was the only reason why I didn't put it.
You can't pick it as your event.
Yeah, but Darkseid War is not over.
Shush.
Touche. Touche.
Because Tim and I picked Justice League Darkseid War. Even though it's not over yet.
Yeah, and I was going to play Secret Wars, but it was the whole thing with it not over yet. But at the same time, we have enough of it to where we can make a kind of value judgment as to how it's been so far. We just don't know how it ends yet. That's the problem.
Yeah, and I like Secret Wars. I'm more frustrated overall with the whole, like, it should have ended 4 months ago thing, and we're still waiting on the final chapter, and the universe has moved on, and it doesn't appear like anything's really happened.
Yeah, we still seeing, like, callbacks to it here and there or whatever.
Right, they've been clever about hiding what actually happens at the end, so.
So, there you go.
But yeah, I like Darkseid War, especially because, one, if you know, like me, you're a DC Comics geek and you've been reading a lot of this stuff for years. There's a lot of throwbacks to old Jack Kirby stories. There's throwbacks to the Crisis stories. There's all this stuff that gets folded up into it. Plus, it's just one of those that it feels big. It feels like one of those giant epic stories. It's one of those books that if I had read it when I was 11, I'd be doodling dark sides in my, you know, notebook when I'm supposed to be doing math class, you know, stuff like that. So it's just one of those big, bold stories I really like.
And I originally had Robin War on there, but then as I thought more about Justice League Dark Side War, I just had to make that my pick. The art.
It's still going?
Who cares if it's still going?
They're all still going too.
Yeah.
It happened in 2015, so, and I'm still doing it. The art by Jason Fabok just looks like when people say, like, that cinematic look to, you know, like, Ultimates and Brian Hitch style art, that's what this reminds me of, but even better. And Geoff Johns has me actually interested in Apocalypse and New Gods and all that stuff.
So. All that weird Jack Kirby stuff?
Yep. That stuff I usually ignore. Batman on a chair, and he doesn't get off the chair, but he's still creepy and intimidating.
Do you like it? Are you more interested in the New Gods than you are in the Dark Magic Corner universe of the DC universe?
Yes, because I don't believe I'm currently reading any Dark Magic books from DC, because I've fallen off of Constantine, and Swamp Thing, which came out this week, I guess fits into that.
Well, it's really disconnected from all that.
Yeah, I wasn't crazy about it anyway. The issue, I did review it on theclicknation.com and popculturenetwork.com.
Yep.
But I can't think of any. I'm interested in what Marvel's doing with their Magic Corner, just to jump to the competition. But yeah, Justice League Dark Side War is awesome. Get it. Even the, 2 month or month break when they had the one shots wasn't horrible either.
Yeah, some of those were interesting.
Yeah.
They weren't all fantastic, but.
Yeah, I skimmed the Lex Luthor one, but yeah. Okay, most surprising event tie-in book.
Okay, I'll lead off. The most surprising event tie-in book for me was Secret Wars Siege, specifically and especially because it became all of a sudden a very important part of the story, the overall story of Secret Wars, and I'd been kind of reading it and kind of enjoying it, and I was like, all right, so this is, you know, kind of the equivalent of a S.H.I.E.L.D. book, and it involves you know, various aspects of, like, S.H.I.E.L.D., but still, you know, bringing in, you know, different parts of the Secret Wars story, and all of a sudden, boom, it's this huge, important part of the story. That's why it was surprising to me. I had kind of slogged my way through 3 issues to get to the 4th one when it all became clear, and that's what made it the most surprising event tie-in book for me, because I came in kind of just reading it dutifully, and I came out of it just pleasantly surprised by the whole experience.
Yeah, like Siege was another one of those books. I was like, huh, what is this about? But it ended up actually being a pretty good book. Even before it kind of, you know, threw itself into the thick of things, it was actually kind of compelling.
Yeah, absolutely.
At least the way it was being told. But I went, like, I had that and also had Thor's, but I will wait till probably later for a while, because I got a feeling we're going to revisit this whole topic.
Yeah.
You're going to revisit Thor's?
I'm going to revisit Thor's, I think.
Okay, well, this is what I put down as mine, only because Thor, outside of some Walt Simonson pockets, has never really been a character I cared about. So when they announced this Thor's book, I just kind of thought, well, you know, it's whatever, it exists, and didn't really worry about it. But once I read the first issue, I was hooked. Like, I love this series. It's a police procedural set in this crazy Doom world, and it is, you know, everything Law and Order and The Wire.
CSI.
And, yeah, CSI. And then plus there's just little snippets of humor thrown throughout. So it was a book that I never intended to pay attention to, and I ended up just really liking it for the story it told, even if it had nothing to do with Battleworld or Secret Wars. It was just this crazy book about a bunch of Thors who were policemen in outer space or something. I still would have enjoyed it. So, but we'll.
I'm interested to hear about Tim's most surprising tie-in book.
I think I have Thor's listed farther down, so I decided to, I guess, look at the title of the category more closely as far as surprising. And I said, thought more about what Secret Wars books jumped out at me and came up with Planet Hulk, just because what Sam Humphries and Mark Lamming did. They took the whole, I guess, friendship between Bucky and
Steve Rogers
and made it the focal point for this quest that Rogers goes on to find Bucky. It takes him to the whatever domain of the Hulks and Doc Green, who we are familiar with from right before Secret Wars started in the Hulk series that Jerry Duggan was doing. And it was just like great art, the flashback sequences by Lamming, like the way he switched, like even him and whoever the colorists were, like switched the coloring to make it look more grainier, like it was a dream sequence. Mm-hmm. There was a couple of twists as far as, you know, what happened to Bucky and Doc Green and even Cap at the end of it. It was just really surprising.
All right. Cool.
That actually was a couple of tie-in books that was, you know, outside of the ones we've talked about, was actually kind of surprising because there was like Massive Kung Fu, you know, and there was an Infinity Gauntlet. Like there was a couple of this was kind of a hard one to pick, but those two kind of stood out. I mean, the ones we picked were kind of standouts.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Plus, Plan to Help kind of played out. Seemed like it. I hadn't read it, but it seemed like it played out like a fan fiction.
Okay. So. Now Tim makes me want to go back and read it. I'm just like, I don't remember enjoying that at all. So I'm going to have to go back and read that.
It's what the awards, the Best Of show is great for.
Right.
And next we have Most Satisfying Relaunch.
All right. And my choice for this category is probably influenced by the most recent issue. Because it's a continuing great story that Jason Aaron is laying out for Doctor Strange. And
the Magic Universe.
Right, and the magic part of the Marvel Universe. And Chris Bachalo was born. We've said it before, and I know this is online. Chris Bachalo was born to draw this book. It is so... His art style is so appropriate for this book. And it totally makes it for a great package. Even if you're not big on magic, like our man Tim Dog 98, read this book because it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, like I changed mine after I saw your pick there, and I thought about it. Like, yeah, you're right. But again, and we'd already talked about Ms. Marvel anyway, so no disrespect to it. But yeah, Doctor Strange has been a great book so far, and what it's seemingly doing is it's compelling.
Definitely, definitely. I like Dirt's choice.
Yeah, I'm thinking about changing mine to Dirt's.
I still haven't read that, though, actually.
Just because I read the latest issue today, and once again, like, was this issue? What issue came out today?
Six, I think.
Yeah, whatever it is. The art in it is so good, I think I won't like the trade of it. Just what Dave Marquez is doing. His art looks like it's even better than what it was on the Miles Morales books. Right now I have Ms. Marvel down as my most satisfying relaunch. It's only, I think, two issues in, so I'm like, is two issues really enough to count as a relaunch? I have enjoyed it.
Yeah, but...
But I don't know, I might be leaning towards the Ms. Iron Man, because again, it's funny, like, Marvel keeps getting these writers on these heroes who I've never cared about before, and that has me, like, enjoying their stuff for the first time. Like, Jason Aaron on Thor, I've never cared about Thor.
Right.
But once he started the God of Thunder volume of Thor, now he's one of my favorite characters, him and Jane Foster. Same with Bendis now on Iron Man. It's like, it just seems to be a great fit. And
well, and for me...
Oh, no, it's up to five, actually. It's five.
Five as well, okay. For me, the reason why it's so satisfying is the last few Iron Man series that they've done have just not been good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that too.
The Kieran...
Gillen.
Yeah, that one. It was just like I wanted to like it. Like I like Iron Man, so I wanted to like the series, and I tried really hard to read it. And there were several times that I tried to jump back on. I'm like, okay, it's a new arc. I'm going to give it a shot, and it just was so terrible. And so when this one launched, I thought, well, this is the team that was doing Miles Morales. I liked that book, so I'm hopefully going to like this version of Iron Man, but I was really so skeptical, and you know, I had so much trepidation reading that first issue, and I loved it. And we get the awesome facial hair bros.
Yeah,
this is just a fantastic
facial hair bros.
We'll talk more about that when we review this issue next week.
So yeah, so there you go.
Cool.
Nice.
Okay. Right.
Now we get into the technical awards.
Yeah.
Best colorist.
So I picked Eve, or Ive. I think it's Ive because it's a dude. Ive Svorchina. He's the colorist on Secret Wars. He's colored Esad Ribic on this and on Thor, and his colors are awesome. He provides so much depth and character to Ribic's art, and it absolutely sells the story and sells the book. He's one of the best on the stands today.
Alrighty then.
I went with Matt Wilson, who I believe is on Daredevil, on the Thor, and Mighty Thor. That's the only ones I can think of right now. He's done those definitely are the highlights of the books he's done. Oh, and he also does the Image book, now that I think about it, Wicked and Divine.
Okay.
That's this one that I'm showing, right?
Yeah. That's
I just Googled his name, and this is what came up. Yeah. So I'm like, that's the dude Tim's talking about.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of like pulling up a Secret Wars page, right?
Right.
I was drawing a blank, so appreciate that.
I went with a name that I'm not going to try to pronounce. No, I'll have to try to pronounce it. Tomiu More.
It's fine.
Sure. Okay. But he's kind of a journeyman at DC Comics. He's done Deathstroke. He's done some of the DC Justice League Dark Side War books.
Okay.
He's done some Batman and Robin Eternal. He's a little bit of everything all over the place. He's just one of those guys who comes in. But I don't know. There's just something about the way he colors books that a lot of times I find myself just flipping through the books going, wow, this looks really nice. Like, who did this? You know, and it's coloring is not something that you generally think about. You just absorb it and move on.
Mm-hmm.
But he is one of those names where I've seen his name pop up more than once when I've thought, this looks really, you know, pretty. Like, who did this?
Yeah.
And I've seen his name multiple times. So I figured, hey, there you go.
Right. I was about to say, in the world we live in now of comic books being mostly digitally colored, I think we're really getting to see, you know, like the subtle variations in color that these colorists are using to provide depth to the art, and it's just phenomenal right now. Stuff is coming out so beautiful.
Right.
And also, I was about to say, and also the dude who's doing the colors on some of these Dark Side War issues of more recent vintage, like 43, 47, I've got in my hand.
Is that Jared Fletcher?
Brad Anderson.
Oh, Brad Anderson, okay. I'm trying to learn the DC colorists nowadays. Did you have one, Roddy?
No, but this is something I have to do, which I guess this is for Twitter or something, but this is something I need to get better about in the new year, about getting, you know, to know colors and artists a little bit better than I do.
The static's back.
Okay, good. That's not just me.
Okay.
Well, it's like you're cutting in and out.
Are you underwater, Ronnie?
Wait, is it still doing it now?
It's like trying to watch Interstellar.
Oh, no.
Ah, crap. And I knew as soon as I hit that button, that was going to happen. Is it still going?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll drop out and drop back in. But I don't have anything for the next two because I have to get better about that in the new year.
Okay, no problem. So he teased next category, which is best artist. I guess since I just announced it, I'll go ahead and say mine is, again, you see a theme with the Thor books. Russell Dauterman, who launched Thor and the Mighty Thor.
Mm-hmm. That's a good choice. I like that. My choice, I'm split because, you know, one thing that I loved about Secret Wars is that it introduced me to what Mike Del Mundo could do in sequential art. He was doing Weird World, and I was just captivated by what Del Mundo did on Weird World. And then I realized that he was actually churning out a lot of the great variant covers that I had loved, that Marvel was putting out, specifically the Tribe Called Quest Midnight Marauders cover. And he also did a great variant of, I guess it was a Groot, or it might have been a Guardians of the Galaxy. And it was a print that I actually picked up from Mike Del Mundo at New York Comic Con, and I finally got it framed. It's freaking awesome. This variant cover. So, you know, Mike Del Mundo is right up there. But the other half of my choice for best artist of 2015 is Esad Ribic, because that dude is putting in work on Secret Wars.
He's probably been working on it all 2015.
Yeah, pretty much. That dude is putting in work on that, man. That is beautiful, beautiful stuff.
Okay, so then I go with the person I'm always going to pick. It's never going to change, ever. Mike Mignola is the greatest artist in the history of all mankind. No discussion ever. So, there. Easiest okay. one I ever chose.
I will say, if I had an artist for this, it would probably be, and this is probably slight bias because I'm reading these books, but it would probably be like Sal LaRocca or Stuart Eminem.
I give you that. Book. That's a good. That those are good choices, Roddy. Yeah. Because LaRocca's part on this week's Darth Vader,
exactly.
I was floored by that. Great choice.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you can't go wrong with the artists and colorists from the books you're reading.
Yeah, seriously. You know what I was going to say? What's funny? Even Diodato's work on the latest Star Wars stuff,
yeah,
it's really good. I mean, Diodato's a pretty good artist, but his recent Star Wars stuff is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Although, to be honest, I read Star Wars, and I remember looking at the artwork and thinking, ah, that's pretty good.
You think it's muddy? Because that's really the biggest complaint.
I wasn't really blown away by it, but then I read Darth Vader, and I was like, oh, that's good.
Yeah, because the thing is, LaRocca's style is so clean. It's very well matched, and that's why Darth Vader is so consistently good. Because one, he's not slow, right? So the book comes out on a regular basis, and two, his art style is so clean. It definitely melds well with just the armor look of Vader. You know, because remember, LaRocca had a great long run on Iron Man.
Yeah.
So, it's definitely a good match of talent.
That's still on my list of things to go back and read. I think I'm like issue 6 into Matt Fraction and Salvador LaRocca's
Inventory. Yeah, it was good stuff.
All right. Best writer.
There's some overlap.
A
little bit.
So let's start. Let's start with Jason Aaron.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go with this. Star Wars.
Yeah.
Thor/Mighty Thor/Thor and Doctor Strange. And all of them pretty great books.
Yeah, that's pretty much
and pretty different.
That made my decision pretty easy.
Yeah.
As much as I love Secret Wars, as much as I love Hickman and the roller coaster we've been on and how he's tying up so many loose ends from like his earlier runs, but Jason Aaron's output has been so good and so diverse. It's just, I can't even begin to put up another choice other than Aaron.
And I hear great things about Southern Methodist, which I haven't read yet, so.
All right. Well, Tim changed his answer.
What? I had changed it. I had three listed.
He just went with the first one.
Oh, okay. I didn't even see. I was on another page.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Although his other two picks were, especially like the Tom King one was a pretty good pick, even though.
Tom King is the one that I put down because Grayson was pretty good.
Yeah.
But Vision blew me away.
Yes.
And Sheriff of Babylon from Vertigo is so freaking good.
Did you read issue 2 already?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I haven't gotten to it yet.
I gave that one 95 out of 100.
Wow.
Yes.
And you don't really like Westerns, does that not play up as much?
No. It's from in Iraq.
Yeah, it's right after the Iraq War. In the Green Zone. But it's also got really great artwork from, was it Tommy Lee
Mitch
Edwards?
Gerards. No, Mitch Gerards.
Oh, Mitch Gerards. That's right. I'm thinking of a different book.
We got to reach out to these guys to get them on the show.
And so just like the between Sheriff of Babylon and Vision, like they both came out this week.
Mm.
And it's like I couldn't decide which one I liked more. Like it was really I eventually went with Sheriff of Babylon just because it's so I don't know if it was a movie I'd go see it, if it was a TV show I would buy it, it's just one of those things that I just know at some point it's going to get adapted into something and it's going to pale in comparison to how good this original book is, but he is Tom King is a former CIA special ops. I think it was an intelligence gathering guy, and so he's writing Sheriff of Babylon, I think from a point of understanding that we can't begin to fathom, and so it just feels so real and alive, and then, Vision has such an amazing original narrative voice.
Yes.
That it's impossible to compare it to anything else because there's nothing, I don't feel like there's anything that ever has been. Mm-hmm. That feels the same as that book. And so between the two of them, they both have come out recently. These are not long-running titles or things that have been around forever. I mean, we're talking about books from the last, 3 months. But they have both just blown me away so much that I got to give them credit for it.
Nice. Good. That's a good pick.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
Right, now we're going to get into the highly controversial one next.
Well, I didn't give my reason for... I didn't give my reasoning for best writer.
Go for it.
Go for it.
I took my three choices down to just one, Jason Aaron, for all the reasons that Agent 70 and Roddy mentioned, Star Wars, Thor, Mighty Thor, Doctor Strange, Southern Bastards. I'd probably have Tom King second, and he might actually be my writer for 2016, whenever this year ends. I think he's definitely one to watch. Vision is still going, he'll either have another high-profile project at one of the big two going, or Grayson will still be chugging along. He'll be doing big things. That's all I got to say. Great, great talent. But Jason Aaron gets the nod.
Shout out to David F. Walker.
Mm-hmm. Now, best licensed title.
I mean,
come on.
We're going to have a knockdown, drag out fight over this one.
Oh, man. Like, we're just going to tear it up on this one.
I like Roddy's choice. I like Roddy's split choice because I thought hard about this.
Yeah. Star Wars. Let's face it, both of them are in the same universe. So I pick Darth Vader and everybody else picks Star Wars.
Right.
Even one of those choices are bad choices. Like, and the only thing that tipped Darth Vader was for me partially was because of the around everybody around Vader.
Yeah. Yeah, they've definitely built a cast that you care about, right?
Exactly.
Right.
You know, and you kind of care that it's like, okay, Vader's getting some stuff. Like, you know, there's an end result somewhere along the line, but what he's doing in the meantime and showing just a lot more of him being Vader, you know, at the same time, it has been a great read. But like I said, it's been mostly because of the people that's around Vader that just kind of tipped it that much.
All right, then.
Cool.
Another knockout, drag out fight, I guess, for comic movie I'm looking forward to.
That's good.
Wait, so we all said Captain America Civil War.
But one.
Wait. What is this?
Now, wait. I've got a reason for this.
Okay.
Can you see
the future, or is this...
Here's why I didn't pick Civil War, is because this movie is...
Wait. Please tell me why you didn't pick Batman versus Superman. That's...
Affleck. That's 100% black mark against Batman versus Superman is Ben Affleck. But no, the reason why I didn't pick Civil War is because this movie is not Civil War. This is Captain America versus Iron Man over Bucky, and that is not Civil War. Like, I wish...
We're yet to see that to be the case, but I see where you're coming from, especially in the trailer.
Right,
especially in the trailer.
And you do have two opposing sides even outside of that reduction, you know? I mean, that is at the beginning and the end of it, but there's got to be more to it.
We're going to come take Bucky because he's brainwashed. No, you're not going to take Bucky because he's my friend. Hmm. And then they build up sides and they fight. And that's not the Civil War story. Like, the only thing it has in common with Civil War is that it's Captain America versus Iron Man. But I wish they had used a different name. Because
they're not going to call it action. You know,
but that's the reason why I didn't pick it, because I'm just really disappointed when they announce Captain America Civil War. You have a storyline in your head, you have an image, and then you see the trailers and it's, oh, they're fighting over Bucky. Like, this is not that's not the storyline.
Yeah. Well, but we were never going to get that storyline. Right. So.
Well, but they could have done a lot of things close to it. Like, you could easily have a superhero who gets out of hand and accidentally kills a whole bunch of civilians, and then you got the Registration Act and you get into that storyline. You know, and it fights right alongside Fox's X-Men movies, and it's like a perfect kind of mirror that they could play off of those movies, where you could almost have them working together, even though they're coming out from different studios. They're fighting that similar, you know, thread. It's just, you know, Marvel's chance to say this is how you really do it to Fox, but instead they're not. They're doing something completely different. I wish they had just not called it Civil War. Call it, you know, the Battle of Bucky or something. I don't know, but not. Winter Harvest. I don't know.
Battle of X-Bros.
Yeah, I think your criticism is probably not going to bear out, because I think the similarities to the Civil War storyline are going to be very, very much up front.
Well,
so.
If Cap is not assassinated at the end, I'm going to feel like I've missed something.
Well, technically that wasn't part of Civil War. That was an aftermath issue in Captain America. So.
Well, then they can do it after the credits. That's fine.
Yeah. And then, you know, there'll be like protests and whatnot. So that'll be interesting.
But I did pick Suicide Squad because I actually am looking forward to this because it looks so ridiculous and so crazy and so overdone. That seems, It's one of those where I feel like I'm going to get Punisher Warzone with a giant cast and a huge budget.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Damn.
I liked that movie for what it was.
Yeah, okay.
And so I can see them doing a big budget, you know, just a lot of stuff blows up, and you've got these crazy-ass villains and crazy characters, and a lot of people are going to fight, and it's going to be fun just because of that. And so I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, fair.
Oh, cool.
All right. Again, another unanimous selection.
I was about to say, so Ken Griffey Jr. did not get into the Baseball Hall of Fame unanimously, but we actually all agreed on what the best tie-in event book is.
And we always have been on this one. Let's be honest on that one.
So we've talked about it enough tonight. Doors, we all four go with that.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I said, like, when we first heard about this book, we didn't know necessarily what it was. We kind of thought it was like Green Lantern Corps, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, okay, this is going to be whatever. But then we started reading it and found out it was Homicide: Life on the Street. And, you know, for all the other reasons why we said earlier, like, this was just the book, or the tie-in book, rather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a tie-in book to really keep track of. You know, that's the one that kind of jumped to the top of our reading stacks every week.
Yeah, regardless of whether it tied into the bigger picture, in it, which it kind of ended up doing. But
right.
There you go. Worst event tie-in book.
Yeah, we're back to a couple of the books that we talked about earlier. I chose Ultimate End.
As did I.
Roddy didn't pick one.
No, because I had a really bad time trying to figure out what
there's so many bad ones.
Yeah, or at least middling. Yeah. So I couldn't really figure one out.
And I picked a book that I totally tore apart on this show about a month ago.
Yeah.
Detective Comics 47. It was just bad. It was just everything about it that could have been poorly done was poorly done. So there you go. I don't even want to talk about it. Like, if you want to know how bad it was, go back to December 10th and listen to that episode. Watch that episode. You can hear. I don't. I want to take a shower just thinking about it.
Oh no, that's funny.
And finally, for clicks of the year, well, I assume we just picked whatever book we enjoyed the most out of 2015.
I'm torn. I'm still thinking.
Yeah. I'm actually throwing something in because...
All right, well, I can go with mine because this was a pretty easy one for me. And Hellboy in Hell was just... The story was creepy and atmospheric and moody, and the artwork was creepy and atmospheric and moody. And Mike Mignola, I love his storytelling. I love his artwork. I love everything he puts together. He has this just amazing art style. I've already talked about how he's just the greatest artist of all time as far as I'm concerned. So suck it, everybody else. And... But Hellboy in Hell was just an amazing Hellboy story where Hellboy actually dies and descends into the underworld where he is supposed to be king. He is supposed to be the ruler of this world, and instead he if you want to say, tries to duck out and take this hidden, rarely traveled path through the underworld trying to get back, and ends up fighting giant monsters in hell and saving dead people from being dead again. And it's just this weird, creepy stuff that he does, and it was just one of those things where I knew as I was reading it, I was like, I bought the issues, I bought them on Comixology so I could take them, you know, wherever I am, I can always pull them up and read them, and I'm probably going to buy the trade when it comes out as well, just because it's one of those stories that I want to put on my shelf, kind of like the very first Hellboy story. I'm going to have it on the shelf up there, and, you know, every so often on one of those dark and stormy nights, I'm going to pull it out and read it. Just, it's fantastic.
Nice. Okay.
Agent 70 picked Ultimate End as his favorite.
No! It's funny, given the time to actually consider what we had talked about during the course of the show, I came up with 3 clicks of the year. Yeah. Because I just had a lot of fun reading these books. I
came up with
cheat.
Excuse me, the category says clicks of the year.
Because there's multiple us.
There's always multiple us. What's your point?
That's funny. So I chose Secret Wars, Darth Vader, and Ms. Marvel, because these are the books that I generally had the best time reading this past year.
And I went with, again, a book I've mentioned many times tonight, or a combination of books, Thor and the Mighty Thor.
I'm generally impressed that this character has become so, that this book, this line of books has become so kind of important to Tim because of the writing of Jason Aaron, over the course of these past few volumes, because, we started the show, and I'm definitely one of the bigger Thor fans, and I always talk about my love of the Simonson run, but, to have, Tim come out and say, look, this is his click of the year. That's pretty awesome. That's a testament to Jason Aaron's work and Dowderman's work, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I picked Thor's Darth Vader and Miss Marvel.
Nice.
Because they've all been great this year.
All the above.
Yeah, seriously.
Specifically talk about any of them?
I mean, we kind of already ran through all of them for specific reasons, so no, there's nothing else really need to be said.
Yep.
And no, Matt Wang. No.
I gotta go. Is Ms. Marvel? Oh, no!
You're a bad person for that. No.
Nay.
What, is she a Mary Sue?
He said she's a younger version. She said Ms. Marvel's a younger version of Dr. Aphra from Darth Vader.
Darth Vader. That's funny. That's funny. Shout out to Matt Wang.
All right. So with that, we end our 2015 year end show, aka episode 150.
Yeah, we made it 150.
Again, thanks again for all the support throughout the past year and so that we've been doing the show.
Absolutely. Thank you to all the listeners. Thank you to all the fans, the people that tweet at us. All of you, thank you very much.
We're going to make 2016 another entertaining show with more guests, more creators on, I think.
More write-ups on the website.
Yep.
Definitely.
Website redesign is in the works. After we hyped up Tom King so much, I'm going to reach out to him and see if he'll join us for a show.
And Mitch Gerads.
Mitch Gerads. Babylon Crew, get on. Sure.
And look out for us at your local, or at least local to us, comic book conventions this year.
Not your local comic con.
That's right.
Be on the lookout.
Because our travel budget's not all that good right now. So.
Not unless you want to kick in some funds. We can.
Exactly.
Hey, we could start a GoFundMe page for...
Right?
Now we need that, get that Patreon popping.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Sure.
Something else to look forward to. Look into for the coming year.
Speaking of, do you have any prospects for what you want to for looking into stuff in the new years, real quick?
What was that?
What were we looking for in 2016?
Any projects you were looking forward to doing, or anything you want to do, resolution style, I guess.
I want to finish writing my damn write up for the cons. That's my resolution. Hopefully, I can knock that out soon.
See, I don't feel bad about not finishing stuff either now.
You mean like the draft?
The draft. I still have the notes for the draft sheet for whenever if I ever go back and finish it.
I forgot about that thing.
How could you forget? You always remind me.
How could you forget?
I was about to say, you would have been the one to bring it up.
We just want to know who won. That's what it comes down to.
I think we already we know we kind of had that figured out.
When the viewers of this show, they're not the ones who won. They don't know what happened.
Oh, man.
My resolution is to try to read ahead of time, because we get books given to us as PDFs a week or two in advance, and a lot of times they sit there until Wednesday or Thursday of the week they actually come out. So I will resolve to try to move forward in my reading instead of trying to catch up with old stuff.
Yeah.
I like that.
And I get that because, I feel the same way. Because when Wednesday comes, you get into it. It's like, well, I want to read this first, and I want to read this first because it's new comic book day, and this is what, this is my thing. And, we have it where we can go a little earlier with some of them.
We have books for next week that we got on December 22nd that I have not even read yet.
Wow.
So, yeah. Well, for me, just like I said earlier, I want to get better by getting, artists and colorists' names down to get to know who, and writers, too, in a certain point, but I've got a grasp on that one a little bit better, because that was the one thing when I was younger. I read the books, but I never really, thought about who was actually writing or coloring or doing all this other stuff, so I want to get better about that, give people their due, plus doing more write-ups for the site, or doing any write-ups for the site, but doing more writes, so definitely.
So, mine would be to write more, which, thankfully, so far, so good as far as accomplishing that in 2016, and more networking, which I've been able to do. I've been able to add some writing pieces to some various websites so far. Hoping to keep that going. Of course, Clean Slate Nation is not going anywhere. We'll still provide you with comic book reviews and news and podcasts and all that good stuff. So, TheClickNation.com and PopCultureNetwork.com.
Yeah!
And follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDogg98 and at CBCron. PCN Dirt is at PCN Dirt. PCN underscore Dirt, I'm sorry.
There you go. And there's the Vine.
The Vine Comic King. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm almost at 46,000 loops.
Wow.
That's a lot of looping.
Yeah. Was Spider-Man Deadpool number one that good?
It was. It was no like I laughed out loud. Like the regular Deadpool series has it started out kind of strong, but it petered off and hasn't been all that funny recently. But this one, it started out kind of creepy, and I wasn't sure if I was going to like it, but then it got hilarious.
Because you know the only reason I got it is for the Paid in Full cover, so I'm not even looking forward to reading it. So now, you know, I'm looking forward to reading it.
Since you brought it up, I'll say I did review that for TalkingComics.com website.
Cool.
There you go.
TalkingComics.com.
And that is at agent underscore 70 on Twitter.
Yeah. And I will try to get a website at some point this year so I can join everybody else.
finish your con pieces first.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Ah.
Latest. The latest Comic-Con write-ups.com.
And at Roddy Cat on Twitter and at News Nerds Need.
Yep.
And with that, we'll be back next week with our reviews from the past, I guess it would be a month, 3 weeks.
The holiday season.
4 weeks.
It'll be 4 weeks.
We'll condense them into the holiday season reviews.
Yep. So we are the Comic Book Chronicles, and for episode 150, we are signing off.
Peace!